Caden, please come here. Luke chapter 18, people need the Lord, the only answer to every one of your problems. I keep telling folks that, I hope maybe they'll listen. It's just hard to get people to listen anymore. The only answer to your problems, every problem, is the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 18 this morning, if you would, as we once again are in the passage of this certain rich ruler had everything life could give him, but he missed one thing. This morning we're going to look at that one thing that lacketh out of Luke 18. I pray it's not lacking in your life. I pray you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't, you can know Him. And friend, He wants to save your soul if you've never been saved. The only way that you'll have eternal life is through the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The eunuch even, he said, well, what's keeping me from being baptized? And Philip answered him in the book of Acts and said, simply, believe on the Lord Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior. And Lord Jesus, I need you to save me. And boy, when you come to that realization, friend, you won't lack anymore. Now, you might not be the richest person on earth, and you might have some holes in your underwear and your socks. Might have some struggles with food here and there. But I have found out over the years that God has never, ever, ever failed in making sure I had at least a piece of bread to eat. Never. And I'm so thankful for that. Luke chapter 18, and let's look at verse number 18 with me. Lacking the one thing needful. Lacking the one thing needful. Luke chapter 18, verse number 18, if you would. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. We know in Romans chapter 3, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Here in verse number 20, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. So he got the second half of the Ten Commandments right, but he didn't have the first half. To have no graven images. To only worship God and God alone. And we're going to go into that here in just a moment. But just because you got half of it right, don't mean you got all of it right. And generally we get the half that's the easiest. We have the half that's this and that, and we think we're fine, but the Lord Jesus will tell him in a minute, you lack one thing. Verse number 22, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. So I added the word needful, not to be adding or taking away from the Scriptures, but it's to go over to when Mary was at his feet and Martha's all upset at him. Why can't, Lord Jesus, why can't you, Master, why don't you have Mary come in here and help me? Well, she's doing that one thing that's needful. He mentions the kingdom of God here in chapter 17 and even in this point. What is the kingdom of God? Well, we know it to be spiritual. We know it for those that know Jesus Christ, their Savior. Realization that I am lost and Lord Jesus, I need to be found. That's the kingdom of God. He mentions here, verse 22 again. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. I will tell you, friends, following him is a result of having been saved. This is why I'm very particular, and people will say, well, what fleshly things do I have to do to be saved? You don't. There's nothing you can do. Well, wait a minute. Isn't asking Jesus Christ to save me, isn't that something I do? Friend, that's a realization of the work of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God in you. It's a fruit. When you understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior and your need of Him,
It's a free gift, he says, and you can have it. But if you don't want it, you can't have it. But if you want it, you can have it. I know the Church of Christ and many others have argued with me, well, it's not a little prayer. And I've just simply said to him, you're right, it's not a little prayer. Lord Jesus, you're the Savior. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Would you please save my soul? Amen. Wait a minute, that's the work of the flesh. No, friend, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, we cannot get away from the passage, and we've got to be cautious in this passage, but you can't get away from the fact that the Holy Spirit draws men. Now, we can get into the Calvinistic theology, and that's garbage. All of it is hogwash. All of it is junk. But the Scriptures are not. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul is thankful that the gospel has come to their ear. Well, that's by God's design. The Lord Jesus didn't just die and arise again for the story to stay in Jerusalem. He didn't die and arise again for it to stay in Israel. The Lord Jesus didn't die and arise again and was buried and arose again the third day. That all was not done for it to stay in Samaria. That wasn't there to stay in the Middle East. It was to go to where? The uttermost parts of the world. And we can argue about Jew and we can argue about Gentile. I don't care. We can argue about he draws, unless he draws you. And that's where they go wrong. Well, unless he's drawing you, you can't be saved. Baloney. That leads into a whole bunch of heresy. The fact of the matter is, he says here, follow me. When you are saved, you want to follow him. Now, I will tell you, your flesh don't like following him. My name is David, and I used to live in Florida. Oh, do I miss the snowy white beaches of Pensacola, Florida, as opposed to the cold, dirty beaches of Muskegon. Now, many of you would say, now, Pastor, it's beautiful. And I will agree, Lake Michigan's beautiful. Why my wife is so infatuated with Mackinac Bridge, I haven't got a clue. But it's beautiful up there. Now, I like the St. Ignace side. Yes, Brother Ray, I am a closet youper. Can I be that? Would you all allow me to be a closet youper? I have to let Brother Raider know that. I guess that'd make me a closet Canadian, wouldn't it? Maybe not. Anyhow. But wait a minute. UP is Southern Canada. Oh, it's not? Okay, I thought it was. Anyhow. Boy, they're setting me straight pretty strong too. Brother Ray's ready to fight. Yeah. What did he say? Yeah. We oftentimes, man, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure, Lord, I'm supposed to take this plate of cookies over to my neighbor? Lord, are you sure I need to go get that limb out of their yard? Lord, are you sure? Miss Pauline, I said hello to her this week. She was having a big sale over here, and she's still struggling from John passing away just in the last year. And gone over, and there's days when I see her out there, I'll just holler at her, hey, how you doing? Like we used to do. A lot of people called us hillbillies, but at least the neighbor knew that we were concerned about him. Yeah. Are you sure, Lord? Lord, and I was telling the men today, there's a whole lot of people that know that God has tithes and offerings that he's told you to give. But Lord, wait a minute, God. My family may not eat. If I put this in the offering plate like you tell me to, we're not going to eat. Lord, I don't know about this, but we're not going to eat. In all the years, 57 plus years that I've been alive, there's never been a day that I was without bread. There's never been a day where God wasn't so concerned about me that he didn't take care of me. There's never been that day. We oftentimes look at what we have or what we're lacking or what we think we need and this and that. And beloved, there's one thing lacking. And what was lacking was this young man's worship was not of God. It was of his riches. Hold your place there and come to Exodus chapter 20 with me. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus and chapter 20. And look with me at verse number 1, please. He mentions that, oh, looky here, babe. Mackinac Pasting Cookie Company. That's a good bookmark to have in your Bible. Hallelujah. I like them pasties. Exodus chapter 20, though. Look with me at verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This certain ruler, this rich ruler, had another god, didn't he? I will tell you that materialism is the god of this world. Of course, Satan makes sure of that, because then you have your eyes and your focus off of who really is in charge and what really does matter. So he might have been obeying parents, but he was not worshiping of God. Verse number 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Beloved, there's a reason why we don't have angels in our house. My wife was given an angel by an individual, and I said, that won't be in my house. That's a graven image. I remember going into some homes down in Mississippi, in the first real church that we had pastored in, and they had a curio with little angels. You know what a curio is? A glass, a set in the corner, had a number of shelving units, and it had glass open. They didn't realize it, but that was their room of idolatry. By the way, an angel, not all angels have wings. There's only 7 that do. 6 of the cherubim and Lucifer himself. There's only 7 that are mentioned in Scripture. Hey, beloved, not all angels have wings. Matter of fact, 99.9% of them don't have it. I'll tell you something else that'll fry your brain is that an angel is not female. Anytime in Scripture that you see an angel, it is a male figure. So a female winged animal is not an angel. Are you listening? Beloved, the fallen angels do not have halos or horns. Only we look at the devil and we know him from the description of Scripture, especially of the book of Revelation. But according to Scripture, the devil is beautiful. A lot of people will have in their rooms, and we have a flag. We have an American flag with Norman and a picture of him. We have a picture of my dad there. I want to get us a flag for Dad, but we don't worship that. It's in remembrance of what God gave us. And again, honey, my mind goes back to you there before Dad's casket. And she sweetly said, thank you for wanting to be my dad. That's not an idol. In that return, I can say, Lord Jesus, thank you for Norman Conrad. There was a night that, I won't go into great detail, but about 3 a.m., God used Norman Conrad. God used that old army. God used that old soldier to help me understand what was more important. I don't have that in my home to worship Norman Conrad. Are you kidding me? But I have it in there to remind me of how good God is. Every time we sit down to eat bread or break, Sister made the worst no-bake cookies ever been made. They're down in a bucket. Don't eat them. Okay? I will take them and get the poison off of them for you. Now, if you pick up a no-bake and it's been licked, I got the poison off of it for you. Okay? But there are a lot of things that have become gods in our world. Coins can become gods in our world. Golf clubs or basketballs or sports can become a god in our world. We're not supposed to have any graven image. We're not supposed to have anything before God. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 5. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. There are some people that don't like Christmas trees. Do you know that? And one of the reasons why they say that is you have to bow down before the Christmas tree to pick up the gift from underneath. Now, is that taking it too far? I think so. But it's also a very good principle to understand. We're not to bow to anything on this earth.
whether it be a Christmas tree or some men call it the Baal pole. Well, I've told you I kind of like the lights. I like the Christmas time. And I'm praying there's a package underneath there with my name on it. But if this, some of the world worships it. How do I know that? Because Costco's already got their Christmas stuff out. They got their Halloween stuff out. And by the way, why do we worship death like we do? You know, there, I have seen some beautiful things in the golf world, some of the head covers and things like that. Tremendous artwork, but got a bunch of skulls in it. Why? I don't want to worship death. I want to worship life. It doesn't make sense, but then again, to those that are deceived, that don't, they're not doing that. See, this rich young ruler, this certain ruler was deceived. And a lot of it's by his own flesh. Hey, listen, the world really has nothing, has no fault that it can blame on others for worshiping other gods, because the flesh wants that. That's done. We mentioned in Sunday school about people wanting to be in charge of the church. You know, there's a lot of people that worship the fact that they have power. And it really irritates them when I look him square in the face and say, look, I don't even have power in this church as a pastor. Only the Lord Jesus does. And if you don't like it, friend, there's the door. We need a church that's without spot or wrinkle. The only God in this church at Walker Bible Baptist is Jesus Christ. It's not David. Boy, I remember telling Brother Ralph one time, Brother Ralph, I love him. I miss him, babe. I said to him, well, brother, you're like a hero to me. Well, David, it's okay to admire the men of God. But if I'm a hero, you got some mighty small heroes. And I liken that unto the fact that some people worship their pastor like a god. I can take you to the Gloria and Kenneth Copeland's church, and those people worship him like a god, and he's not a god. I knew growing up there were some men that were some great preachers, and people, they could have belched. They could have had flatulence. And people would have said, amen, preacher. Josh, you over there smiling, you know what I mean by that. You can hear the preacher go, amen, amen, and that ain't right. You can laugh, it's okay. But that's the way some, and by the way, that's the way some of those men want. I told you about a preacher at a Bible college, and they were all up there hollering his name, and he was up there on the stage doing this, and they were worshiping him. Well, last time I checked, none of them died on a cross. None of them died. None of them were buried and arose again like my Savior Jesus Christ did. They ain't worth worshiping. And having these little gods and these little idols, you better be careful of things. I didn't mean to get into that, but you knew it was, I was going to have to chase a rabbit. Verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Anymore, when I hear people use the name of the Lord Jesus and they'll say Jesus Christ in vain, amen, he's a great Savior. It's so funny to me as you make your way back to Luke 18, is when I'm having discussions with individuals and they swear and this and that. Oh, I'm sorry, preacher. I'm sorry. God done saw your heart before you said it. We can become our own gods. And that's where this rich, certain ruler had failed. If I'm not careful, Jamie could be a god to me. If I'm not careful, money can become a god to me. If I'm not careful, golf can become a god to me. If I'm not careful, a lawnmower can become a god to me. If I'm not careful, God forbid, the Michigan Wolverines become a god to me. But in this world, they are. I see more people getting more excited about Michigan State Spartans than they do the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. I've been in those services where it just seems like there's other things that they worship and that they want. But there's one thing lacking. One thing lacking. As you make your way back to verse number 18, in verse number 31, then he took unto them the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. There's the one that we ought to be worshiping.
The only one that can produce, the only one that can give, the only one that has the grace and the power and the mercy to save a soul. That's the one thing lacking. Verse 27, and he said that the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Man, what a thought. One thing lacking. One thing lacking. Lacking the one thing that's needful. Well, when we look at the word lack, I draw you to your notes and the fact that there are synonyms and antonyms. Synonyms and antonyms. I remember my son Micah and my grandsons, they all have a little bit of Dutchiness to them and how they're growing out of it. And I can remember being around kids and explaining to them the synonym and the antonym. And it was funny, they would say those things, but how powerful a synonym and an antonym is. Lacking. What's a synonym for lacking? Well, the word inadequate. Deficient. Needful. Loss. Shortcoming. Now, just from those few antonyms that I put there, can you think of some scripture all of a sudden? All throughout the scripture, we're told that we're sinful. And a soul that sinneth, it shall die. We are all in want because of our sin. When you look at the idea of deficient, deficient in that you and I don't have the power that it would take to save our own souls. The very gods that we do serve before we were saved, we were deficient. They could not appease a holy and a righteous God. Needful. Well, didn't Mary find out that one thing that was needful? And Martha? There's a lot of times we do get busy, friends. And you ought to wash the dishes. We ought to wash our clothes. We ought to sweep the floor. We ought to try to get as much dog hair up as we possibly can. What's funny around the house is I'll clean up some dog hair and Jamie will come home that night and there'll be dog hair right back there. Hey, we need to write that down. That all rhymed. The woes of life in a dog. Oh, don't get me on that having a cat, Sister Karis. One thing needful. How about the antonyms? Abundant. Plenty. Sufficient. Just in those thoughts, what kind of scriptures do you hear? Abundant in mercy. Plentiful to forgive. Plentiful to provide and to sustain. Can God, as Brother Seitler said so many years ago, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? In His words, God can. How about sufficient? Mercy that's sufficient. Power that's sufficient. Strength that's sufficient. And there's so many Bible verses. Yet we lack one thing. That's what he told a certain ruler. His certain rich ruler, he even mentioned how that it was hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now there's a whole lot of people that have tried to explain that statement. In verse number 22, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to pretend ever to be a great theologian. There's no seminaries calling me and begging me to come and teach them and make $1 million a year. You know why? Because I'm going to take the word of God for what it says. He mentions here in this passage in verse 25, for it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye. Has everybody in here had a needle and sewing? Now, there are some men, Brother Josh, they say, well, this was a gate that was kind of smaller, and it was one of the doorways in through the wall, and well, this is what they call the eye of the needle. And there was no way for a camel with a passenger on it to get through that doorway because it was only built for a human being. That's what a lot of them say. That's what these, a lot of these theologians, these cemeterians would say. Well, when I look at my Bible, because I are not that smart, I'm taking a look at a needle and the eye of that needle, and I'm looking at the size of a camel, and I'm looking at the eye of the needle, and I'm looking at a camel. Right?
Yeah.
I'm just simple.
Yeah.
All right? I'm not very educated. Y'all know that. He's saying it's an impossibility for you and I to save ourselves. It is an impossibility for you and I to keep the whole law. You know, he had half of it right, but the most important half he didn't have right. Because, see, commandment number one leads to commandment number five. Commandment number two leads to commandment number six. Commandments 1 through 5 lead to 6 through 10. If you're not doing the first 4 or 5, friend, you can't. You might be able to get the other ones done, but that don't mean anything. You know, the publican, he said, or the Pharisee said, well, I fast twice in a week. I do this. It's still impossible for you to be righteous before a holy and righteous God in anything you can do, anything that you can say, anything in your life. Why? Because so many other things get in our way. Your flesh is lacking. It is inadequate to save you. It is deficient to save you. It is at loss. It is a shortcoming. Lacking in the fulfillment of the law is who you and I are. We are unable to be holy and righteous. There's none holy. There's none righteous, no, not one. We have all fallen short. In this word lack, there are hundreds of Bible verses that come into play here. Think about it. For all have sinned. And what? Come short of the glory of God. We're lacking. That's a shortcoming. All of us have. We've always used the illustration, and when we'd go to the juvies, we'd use this illustration of, yeah, I can hit a 15-foot free throw. But I want you to take that basketball, and we were in the Milton area, just outside Milton, Santa Rosa, just like a million acres of wilderness, basically. And I would tell them, I said, we're going to shoot at a basket in Pensacola, some 40, 50 miles away. Now, fellas, how many of y'all can make that shot? Of course, they would all be joking, yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. We would take them outside, and we would play basketball with them a lot. And any of them that were being smart alecks in that, I'd put them a basketball on one end of the goal. And I said, go ahead and shoot at the other goal. Can you hit it? Not a one of them could ever make it. I said, and you think you can make a basketball, you can make a hoop in Pensacola? Oh, we were just funning with you. You know the sad thing? People believe they can actually save themselves. People actually believe that they can make that shot of throwing a basketball 40 miles away. I don't know, I've seen, there's been a lot done about this WNBA. And if you ask me, 80% of them are horrible basketball players. Horrible. And then the ones that are really good, they want to throw them away. You know what, friend? That's just a sad day when they can't even define what a woman is. Well, thank God I'm married to one and I can define a woman. She's everything that I am not. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that she is that I am not. She can be kinder than I can be. I'll tell you, the rubber. Miss Jamie, as a mom, would say, oh, we need 7 stitches in this. Not Dad. Ah, rub some dirt on it. You see the difference in who we really are? You know, beloved, we have all fallen short. We are wanting and needful.
Amen.
Well, let me say some things you already know. But let me hopefully amplify them for you. Only the Lord Jesus is able.
Now, did you notice I said able? I didn't say able to this, able to that, able to this. Because in reality, it would be able to do everything. But he's also able to not do. He can't sin. But he sure can save. You and I are not able to do that. There have been days in the past, I couldn't even wash my body. Well, who am I to think I could be my own God? There are days, and still to this day, I have trouble putting my socks on, but I force myself. And it's really kind of dumb. I ought to just wait on Miss Jamie to do it. Because I feel it later on, even 7 months later. Well, it's 8 months now. Yeah, 8 months. I still haven't struggled putting my socks on. Listen, beloved, if you're having trouble putting your socks on, do you think you're really able to save yourself? Only the Lord Jesus is sufficient. But why do we think we are? I'll do it myself. At the home, you don't do, moms, you don't do your kids any justice. You don't help them when all you do is do it all. You don't!
Well, they don't do it my way, or I don't want to deal with their attitude.
If you tell them to do dishes and they give you attitude, let me give you some suggestions. Some suggestions. Number one, front kick them in the posterior. For those of you from the UP, kick them in the butt.
I can't believe he just said that.
You're lucky I didn't say something else. Let me give you another suggestion. Take your hand. Now, put your fingers together, because if you spread them out, it's going to hurt your hand. But if you put your hand together, not hard, but put your hand together just right and use the meat of your palm, then apply it to the back of the head. You can adjust attitude. But wait a minute. No, they won't do it my way. Well, then if you're not careful, God will come up behind you and he'll go, amen. Listen, friends. Oh, my word. You don't help them. But I tell you what our problem is we think we can do it all. Pastor, I got that. I just dropped a couple of note cards. Thank you, honey. You know, I was... note card on the floor between services. So I knelt down there. You know what I should have done? I should have waited for Caden to come up here. Hey, Caden, could you pick them up? But no! I got to do it. A couple weeks ago, I took Matthias and Micah and David out to play golf. So I'd put the ball, put it in the cup. I got it, Papa. Matthias would run over there in his jovial goofiness, and he'd get that ball out and he'd hand it to me. You know, people get a joy out of doing things for you, but we get so stinking ignorant and self-righteous and just downright foolish, we think we got to do it all. There, let me tell you what your sickness is sometimes. It's to get you to stop and get you to let others do. Been there, done that. In ways that I will not describe in this family organization. 3 a.m. going to the bathroom and your back's a mess. Jamie! Huh? You know what? We treat Jesus Christ like that. We think we're sufficient. None of us are sufficient. The Lord Jesus is only abundant in mercy and grace. If you have any mercy, if you have any kindness, if you have any compassion, if you have any grace to you at all, it is not because of you. It's because of what God put in you. Lord, thank you for I've had an individual bring some things last month or so. This individual knew that I really liked. Lord, thank you for blessing me through that individual. Instead of calling the individual and saying, oh, you know, you didn't have to do that. Did you ever think that stupidity hurts their feelings? That individual might have been specifically told, and probably so, God said, hey,
You go get that for the preacher. He likes that. Go put that on his porch. Go put that inside here. Go put that over there. Hey, did you ever think that maybe God told him that to bless them? You're all high and mighty and say, yes, God blessed me. Man, you might want to thank God for that individual. Say, Lord, thank you for that individual. Thank you, Lord, for using them to bless me. No, here's what we do.
Well, you know, you didn't have to do that.
Hey, beloved, did y'all know that the Lord Jesus didn't have to die and arise again? But because He's true to His Word and His love for His creation, He did that. Amen? Amen. But would He still be God if He hadn't hung on the cross? Now, absolutely. He's God without God. God was God before. I know this is hard for you to believe. God was God before you were born. And He knows how to do it. He's sufficient. He's abundant. His grace and mercy never runs out. My grace and mercy for human beings, it runs out. Amen? I think of the tragedies that are going on in Dearborn. People being murdered by a religion on United States soil that deserve to be beheaded. They deserve the death chamber. They deserve the electrocution. You realize they're killing people over there. A wife that won't do it their way. You realize that. That's what man does. It is a shame to me. There is no mercy and grace. God's mercy and grace. So let me give you three thoughts and I'm done. Number one, stop lacking. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ Jesus as your Savior, stop it. Stop banking on your baptism having saved you. Stop banking on your idols trying to save you. Hey, stop lacking and thinking that you can save you, because you can't. You wouldn't even know where to start. But God does. Stop lacking. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It is impossible for man to save him. But listen, friends, there's nothing impossible for God. I mean, you think about it. If He saved your soul, that's a miracle. Why? Because God had to do it and you couldn't. Isn't that the definition of the word miracle? Stop lacking and follow the Lord Jesus. Pretty simple, isn't it? Y'all come to church to hear one of them highfalutin messages? Well, that ain't never going to happen around here. Amen?
Yep.
Stop lacking. Follow Him. Follow Him with your whole heart. Follow Him with everything you got. And by the way, there's never been an individual ever give up everything to follow the Lord Jesus. I mean, those disciples, they thought so. I mean, think of that list that He gave us. Verse 28, Lo, Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, this is the Lord Jesus, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. I looked at that list and I'm wondering, well, I did leave my parents. And I did leave their house, but wait a minute, I have a house, so okay. Or brethren, well, I have my brothers that I grew up around and my brothers and sisters in the church. I kind of like them. Or wife. There are two things. The Holy Spirit lives within me, so there'd be three things, but there's two things I could not live without. I could not live without my Bible. I couldn't. And I couldn't live without my wife. So I will have to say, Lord, you're right. There's no man that's left all that for your sake. And he knew David. That's why he gave Jamie to David when he was... I was only 16 years old when I met her. Now, we didn't start dating until 17, so she hasn't robbed the cradle. Although her cousin thinks so. But she got a younger guy because they will last longer. The older guys, they die a little sooner. She just didn't know she was going to get a child. What's the term I'm looking for? A child that's all the time.
Perpetual child. There we go. That's a good term. But you look at that list. Has anybody been there?
No.
No, because we don't trust Him like we think we do. We're lacking in our trust of the Lord Jesus. We're lacking in our belief of the Lord Jesus. Listen, friends, there's a whole lot of times that we are more of an unbeliever than we are a believer. And that ought not be. Well, stop lacking. Believe on Him. Stop lacking and follow Him. Stop lacking. Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to do the impossible within you, for you. The only way I can keep people from doing for me is to, hey, leave me alone. Stop it. I don't care that you brought that by my house. Don't do it no more. Isn't that stupid? Well, you would definitely be lacking. You'd be lacking some rolls, some corn. You'd be lacking some taters. You'd be lacking some no-bake cookies. I'm telling y'all, there's a bucket of no-bakes down there that are horrible. Please do not eat them. Then go put them in my office and I'll make sure they get disposed of. You say, you're going to hurt Rachel's feelings. I don't care. I don't want her to kill any of my brethren. Beloved, allow the Lord Jesus to do the impossible. Let me say this to you. Everyone, please look. Get out of His way. Stop attitude. Stop heart. Stop this. Stop what knowledge you think you got. Stop what way you think is right. Stop all that and get out of His way and let Him do. Just get out of the way. He wants to do for us. He wanted to save this certain rich ruler. But the Bible says that he was sorrowful. I'm going to tell you right now, I am not sorrowful that I met the Lord Jesus. I'm not sorrowful that He came my way. I'm not upset with Him showing me that I lack and He doesn't. I just got to get me completely 1,000% out of the way, so that I'm not lacking that one thing needful. Father, I love You and I thank You for the Word, and I pray it's been a help to us this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. If the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with your heart, would you please let Him? Those of you who are watching, with every head bowed, every eye closed here in the room, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can show you how you can know for sure. Because the Lord Jesus saves, and He saves completely. Only the Lord Jesus can save, and it's only by grace through faith. It's not by any work, by any righteousness of yours. But it's all about what He did. Get out of His way. Believe on Him. Follow Him. And allow Him to do in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed here. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart this morning, would you come? If you don't know for sure that you're saved this morning, would you let me show you how you can know for sure? Christian, I don't know what you're dealing with, but I ask you, are you allowing Him? Are you following Him? If you're in the way, ask Him to help you get out of the way. Ask Him to help you, show you how you can get out of the way of Him working. God's dealing with your heart. Would you come on? No one comes in the next few moments. We'll end the invitation. God's dealing with your heart. Would you come on? Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here freely. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the Savior. Thank you for salvation by grace through faith. It's a free gift. Thank you for you being in our lives. Lord, help us to allow you to be in our lives. Lord, thank you for this great place to worship, to have a freedom to open the Bible freely. I love you, Lord Jesus. We glorify and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.